Brothers and sisters, we are seeing a new craze sweeping across Korea. It's running. Have you ever heard? As people challenge themselves to run a full 42.195 kilometer course, there are marathons for non-professionals. We also see a half marathon or 10 kilometers or 5 kilometer races being held many times. There are races for company workers. They do the running before work or after work, and they also have some gatherings to run together. I heard that there's a craze for running. Running costs little. As you push yourself to run on a regular basis, you can ultimately run a long distance which you didn't think possible, which gives you a great sense of achievement. Once you join a competition and experience the joy of finishing a course, you can't stop there. You participate in more competitions and break your records, feeling so proud of yourself. Only those who've run races would know the thrills. But by the way, a long-distance race can be compared to our journey of faith. Some people run too fast in the beginning and give up halfway through. Others get tired from running for long, stop and walk. Still others competitively keep other runners' pace and get worn out quickly. They stop and drop out of the race. Some runners may not be able to run fast, but as they constantly practice, they gradually improve. At some point, they can run faster and longer. What about your journey of faith? Having heard the gospel of holiness, you were overjoyed and diligently shared the gospel with your family members, relatives, neighbors, and whomever you met. You would listen to sermons even while walking on the streets or driving and earnestly pray and fast to cast off sins and evil you discovered. But with the passing of time, didn't you think, I've run hard enough, let me take a break? Didn't you consider yourself ahead of others and stop running? Once you come to the church, we stay awake in our faith. Even though you haven't achieved the sanctification, you believe that our Lord will come soon, and you stay awake and you try to change yourself. But even after 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years, and even after a long passing of time, sometimes, some of you came to this church in your 20s, and some of you didn't choose not to get married because you are waiting for the Lord. You had such hope, but you have become 30s in your 40s. Of course, many of you have got married and stay faithful to the church, but some of you, many years passed, you become in your 50s, and you may find yourself with nothing, and you look back on yourself and lament, oh, have I lived a good life? Other people have a happy family. What do I have? If you have such fleshly thoughts, and if you feel when it feels like the Lord is not coming soon, you stop, or there are various kinds of fleshly thoughts. Like, you are on the journey to heaven. Our Christian life is the way to heaven. Are you living a Christian life to get a better house on this earth? So, you have to check how much you've changed, how much you've discovered the lost image of God. You have to So some people lose their first love and stop running. But if you take a break or stop in your life of faith, you don't stay where you are, but backslide. The enemy devil doesn't miss out on that opportunity and attempts to take away your faith completely. Thus, I urge you to only press on forward, fixing your eyes on the Lord. I pray that in 2025, you will stand on the rock in faith and only march forward no matter the circumstance, thereby winning God's love and recognition. Brothers and sisters, your Christian lives can largely be divided into three types. Some believers press on forward without ceasing. Others stop after running a little and just stay where they are. Still others backslide in faith. People who press on forward diligently keep the commandments out of love for God and keep growing in faith. Believers who just stay where they are have become sluggish or callous in heart. Not following the desires of the Spirit, they show no improvement. As for those who are backsliding in faith, the Holy Spirit heaven orb is being quenched in their heart. They are losing even the faith they've had. God desires for us to become fervent in faith and heart and keep marching forward. If you indeed have faith, you can press on without ceasing, only looking ahead. God would answer, we are not living a Christian life to become rich, or our focus is to receiving salvation and entering the better dwelling place, heaven. So there's no need to stop. There's no reason for stop in the face of a trial or difficulties. You have a goal in the beautiful heaven, and you have goals in your life of faith, and you long for something, and you have goals or. But when things don't go according to your thoughts, when you don't have fruits, you shouldn't give up or stop. Why? We are on our journey to heaven. When we take a break, the enemy devil take away even the faith we've had. So, sometimes we may be slow, shouldn't stop. We have to keep going. And of course, we have to go faster and march vigorously with the strength from the Holy Spirit. God would answer whatever such children ask of Him. He will exult over them with joy and prepares beautiful heaven for them. Then, what should we do to keep pressing forward in faith without ceasing? First, we have to set the right goal and not waver. Here, a goal represents our vision or hope. People who spend each day without goals and those who set goals face different outcomes. People who have goals improve themselves with perseverance and hard efforts, even though they find their current situation bothersome and challenging. But those without visions or dreams are quick to give up in the face of a trouble. In our journey of faith, we should have a right goal. Some Christians may attend church because they appreciate the favor of those who guided them. Because they appreciate the church workers who are taking care of them. Others don't leave the church because they've met the Lord and experienced the living God, but they just habitually attend services without any desire to carry out God-given duties and build up rewards in heaven. But with these kinds of faith, we cannot overcome the enemy devil. We may have even our current faith taken away. Having accepted the Lord, we have to set our goals on heaven, long to meet and experience God always, and desire to achieve growth of faith. If we look at the founders of faith who were used for precious purposes, God first gave them visions and hope. And then they accepted the visions with faith, held on to them without ceasing, and obeyed. In other words, they planted visions in God. One of the biblical figures who set an example of planting visions in God and receiving blessings is Abraham. God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to count them, so shall your descendants be." Believing in the visions, when God first called Abraham, he gave him visions and dreams. After he called him, and you know, until he gained the blessing of his seed of life, and finally, at age 100, he gave birth to Isaac. Until that, his dream was realized. God told him to look at the stars, look at the trees, and I will bless you, and your descendants will be numerous. God gave him dreams because we need goals and dreams. Only then can we march vigorously. So God plants in us dreams and visions. So the founder men of faith hold on to the dreams and visions, and they don't waver and they don't miss it. They don't forget about them. And until those visions are realized, they never give up or waver or become discouraged. They make themselves into a vessel, and even though the reality is very difficult, even though the reality goes contrary to their visions, but they don't give up. They don't forget about that. And look at Joseph. His dreams was so brilliant. His dreams was very big, but he went contrary to the dreams. But still, he held on to the dreams God gave him. Never forget that he overcame all his troubles looking to God alone. This is what men of faith are like. This is the kind of people whom God calls righteous. It was the same with Abraham. He believed and trusted in the dreams God gave him, and in order to bear fruits, he didn't just... He told him to look at the stars, numerous stars in the heavens, and told him to look at the trees. And while Abraham lived near the trees. While he lived near the trees, he was very happy looking at the tree. He looked at the stars. He looked at the fruits of the trees. Looking at those things, Abraham nurtured and grew his dreams. Since Abraham grew the God-given visions with all his heart, will, and sincerity, he received not only eternal life, but blessings of good health, longevity, children, and wealth, becoming the source of all blessings. What kind of visions has God given to you, and what kind of goal have you set? We've gone beyond putting our hope in heaven. We've harbored visions and goals to reach places shining like the sun in heaven. Our ultimate destination, our goal, our shepherd led us this way. He didn't just tell us to be saved. He guided us to reach the most beautiful place in heaven, New Jerusalem, and he guided us with the gospel of holiness. He allowed us to see and hear amazing words that couldn't be seen anywhere else. And he helped us live our Christian life happily. So that we won't get discouraged. He always showed us, manifested God's power. He always allowed us to feel the beauty of heaven. Our ultimate destination, our goal, has been New Jerusalem. We've longed for sanctification, not loving the world. On top of that, we've tried to become men of whole spirit, resembling Father God's image. We've hoped to carry out our duties well and build up many heavenly rewards. This is planting visions in God. But what would happen if you waver in your goal and stop growing and nurturing your vision? You won't be able to attain to your goal. You have to know that. No matter, even though Father God gives you the word of blessing, until that goal is realized, it is your duty, it is your goal to... It's not just remembering that dream in your head. You have to make actual efforts, practical efforts to achieve that dream. Such deeds should be accompanied. Have you shown the such deeds? Or you just, even though you harbored a wish, but you didn't show any deeds of nurturing that dream, then you cannot say you are holding on to the goal. You cannot say you are holding on to the your hope of New Jerusalem. Let's say you've led a passionate Christian life with a resolve to enter New Jerusalem, but at some point you find yourself slow to change and your goal for New Jerusalem wavering. Then this is so foolish. As you had your serious disease healed or your problems resolved and received great grace, you must have made a firm resolution. God, I will keep walking this way. No matter how rough the way is, I will run towards the God-given goal without ceasing and give glory to you. But have you not had a change of heart at some point and wavered to the right or to the left? If you find yourself having been deceived and wavered by your environments, feelings, or worthless words, then you are not worthy of God's promises and blessings. James chapter 1 verses 7 and 8 tells us, "For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Therefore, once we've set a goal, we should remain steadfast without wavering. To do so, we have to cut off worldly things and what distracts us and cast off what have to be cast off. Then we can keep our goal from wavering and press on forward. The second prayer topic is, let's restore the first love. We have to know how you've lost your first love, how your goal for New Jerusalem have wavered. Even though you confess, "I will go to New Jerusalem," but it's useless. You have to. It has to be accompanied by deeds. Anyone can have hope or wish, but in order to realize that, you have to make efforts. You have to show endeavor or toil and efforts. Only then you can succeed. You have a firm goal for New Jerusalem. You know, all these years, you know, Father God clearly notified us of the way to New Jerusalem. You shouldn't say, "Because there is no shepherd, I cannot go to New Jerusalem." But you have to hold on to the words received and just keep going. I'm sharing the words, and I also guide you to New Jerusalem. But Because you're tired, because you're exhausted, would I just say, "Let's satisfy with heaven"? Then I wouldn't be your good guide. I shouldn't do like that. Would you love me? Would you be pleased with me? I wouldn't look that lovable to you. If I preach something different from our shepherd's words, even though the way New Jerusalem is difficult, you know, the way I have to guide you to the best place possible as your guide. If I just become lax and make things comfortable for you, then it would be a fleshly affection. Then you would complain later on in heaven, and Father God wouldn't compliment me much. So if we have our gold at a lower place, if we settle for just heaven, if we set aside with heaven, if we just don't refrain from committing the works of flesh, but we just sometimes we complain, we sometimes seek our own benefits and have sometimes harbor hatred, sometimes gossip, and then repeatedly repent on Sundays, on the Sabbath, and when the week starts, you just live as you please and then come to church and repent again on Sunday. If you live such a Christian life, you would receive salvation. But if you don't receive works of the flesh, you would receive at least salvation. But we shouldn't live like that. We have everlasting heaven. People try to struggle, try every effort to live a good life on earth. But what about heaven? It is an everlasting kingdom. How should we satisfy with the lower places in heaven? Not being able to see our Father God, it shouldn't happen. Not being able to see our Lord's face, not being able to see our bridegroom, not being able to see our bridegroom, our friend, our Lord, not being able to confess to Him, I love you. That shouldn't happen. Not being able to say, but not being able to being held in His arms boldly, not being able to, but mommy members know about the New Jerusalem, so we would feel so apologetic and embarrassed. So I shouldn't be such a guide, and you shouldn't live like that. So we have to, our goal for New Jerusalem shouldn't waver, and we have to keep marching on. From 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 onward, we find how Apostle Paul suffered for the gospel. He overly devoted himself for the sake of God's kingdom and His righteousness and Jesus Christ and the gospel. But knowing that walking his way with a steadfast heart was God's will, Apostle Paul didn't spare even his life. Even as he went through a severe crisis numerous times with the Holy Spirit inspiring him, he didn't want to avoid it or take a break. Even his own people, the Jewish people, try to kill him. They resolved not even to eat until they killed him. But Apostle Paul didn't get exhausted. Apostle Paul didn't complain about Father God not protecting him. He didn't harbor doubt. No, he always even though people say this and that, he didn't waver. He only looked to the Lord, so there is no reason for him to waver. So according to, with the Holy Spirit inspiring him, he didn't want to avoid it or take a break. Instead, he pressed on with exceeding hope and joy. He was able to boldly confess in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "In the future days laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." I challenge you to have faith that no matter the trouble, if you steadfastly press on toward a goal with joy, you can also receive the kind of blessings Paul received. You have to examine whether your goal has wavered or been replaced. Even after you've set a right goal, it's important to check whether you are planting your visions in God. You may settle for heaven, not New Jerusalem. In the face of a trouble, in the face of trials, people may give up. When they are filled up with the Spirit, they resolve to go to New Jerusalem. But when they are in trouble, when they are, they have many reasons. Once they lose their fullness, they would settle for the paradise or just any place in. They just settle for just receiving salvation. They think, do I have to bother to take on such difficult duties? I'm in trouble. Even though I try hard, I have to be rebuked. I have to be reproached. Should I work hard? Shouldn't I stop? People who had hope for New Jerusalem wouldn't become discouraged. They don't feel distressed, but they are thankful that it is their trials to make them perfect. You have to check whether your goal has wavered or have been replaced. Even though if you indeed planted a vision, your life would be different. Having your life entirely focused on hope for New Jerusalem, you ponder over how you can become sanctified and bear fruits. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God. Having set a right goal, you never waver in faith. As said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, may you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and only press on forward, holding fast the goal of New Jerusalem. You have to make sure your goal doesn't waver. Your goal doesn't waver like the whether your goal has been lowered to the second kingdom of heaven or lowered to the paradise or lowered to the receiving salvation. You have to check whether your goal has been lowered. Well, you have to find out why your goal has been lowered. You have to know exactly why and repent, and you have to fix your deeds. We have to go without wavering. To press on toward a goal. Second, we have to do our best and run without ceasing. But nowadays, young people easily say to one another, you don't need to try that hard, and recommend giving up. Once they feel a little tired, they give up. Many of them fail to challenge themselves with the fortitude. But on your journey to heaven and New Jerusalem, we are not to take a break because we are exhausted or make half-hearted efforts because we are not capable enough. Why? It directly relates to your life. Suppose you have a problem with your heart or lung. You'd have a hard time breathing. You can't breathe well. Would it make sense for someone to say to you, if it's difficult, then stop breathing. Do as you like. Would it make sense for someone to say that to you? Because you have trouble breathing, you stop breathing, you will die. It doesn't make sense. Even though you have trouble, he would help you keep breathing. Or, if one of your family members has become sick and lost appetite, would you say, all right, you stop eating, do whatever you want? Wouldn't you get him to eat even if he doesn't want to? In our life of faith, casting off sins and achieving sanctification is a battle that involves the pain of cutting off chunks of your flesh. How could it be easy to turn away from the ways of sin and love people whom you hate? But since you've set your goal on beautiful heaven, you tearfully cry out in prayer to cast off hatred and beat your chest in mourning. Since you can't be sanctified on your own, you fervently pray without ceasing, asking for the Holy Spirit's help. If you make half-hearted efforts in sanctification and prayer, or take a break because you feel tired, you can never attain to your goal. As you get into the habit of praying and working for His kingdom with all your strength and sincerity, you can change yourself and grow in faith easily. Each person has different capabilities. Especially novice believers find it tough to pray. But as they learn from and imitate how their leaders pray, they can pray better and better. They can cry out in prayer and get inspired by the Spirit. Once they receive tongues, it becomes easier. That's how they improve themselves and pray better. Hopefully, you won't do anything whatever talents you may have, you shouldn't settle for your current level. you want to improve, you can make it better. But how you can make it better? You have to do your best at your current level. Then you can grow your talent. Let's say your ability is 10, then you have to do your 10. This is you do your best, and you pray, you cry out, and you sometimes you, even though you have idle thoughts, you try your best to pray. Even though you don't pray with all your heart, you again try to pray with your heart. You discipline yourself and you beat your body to, and you do your best. You do your, then as time passes a little, your ability raises to from 10 to 15. Once you reach 15, you have to go higher than that. You shouldn't come back to 10. Once you go to 15, you have to, then you, at some point you will reach 20, and then you shouldn't come down to 15. That's not doing your best. You cannot grow your ability level. You have to rise to 25 and then to 30. As you do that, you gradually improve yourself, improve your ability levels. Hopefully, you won't do anything half-heartedly or habitually, like praying, attending worship, discovering and changing yourself, working for His kingdom, etc. In whatever you do before God, you are to put all your strength, sincerity, and efforts. Only then can you grow in faith and bear fruits. This is going forward, marching forward. You march forward like that to New Jerusalem. You may say, I've only accepted the Lord. I've just received the Lord. I'm just a novice believer. It's too far for me to go to New Jerusalem. But I just told you, you start from 10 and then you rise to 15 and then to 20 and you do your best, and then you do your best tomorrow, and then you do your best even the day after tomorrow. But if you do things half-heartedly, you stay the same. You stay where you are. I think it's her good points. It's her strength. Whatever she does, she never does half-heartedly. She does put all of her efforts. When she exercises, she sweats. Even though when she sings to the point where her voice becomes hoarse. She has such a characteristic and personality. So when she prays, she puts all of her efforts to praying. If she doesn't pray, if she doesn't cry out, she feels like she never prayed. She checks how much she prayed, how she prayed without idle thoughts. As you look back on yourself like that, you remove your idle thoughts little by little, and you can pray with as she lives her. So at some point you can pray. Whenever you pray with the fullness of the Holy Spirit without idle thoughts. She got empowered to do that. And I do. It was about me. Even when I eat, I put my heart into eating. This is one of my strengths, and this really helped me in my life of faith. You can also do that today and tomorrow. And worship services, when you worship, when you listen to sermons, let's say you have idle thoughts, 30 minutes, but you focus on your heart entirely on the sermon, but you may find yourself having idle thoughts, but you have to fix that immediately. if you know your habits, you have to make sure to remove idle thoughts. You have to keep reminding yourself of not having idle thoughts. You have to show such effort. You have to put all your heart and sincerity into your Christian life. Then New Jerusalem will be yours. As you wake up in the morning, you start your day with prayer. And when we long for change, we do that. As for me, when I just discover my shortcomings, I pray with a runny nose and tears covered on my face. And after the dinner prayer meeting, when I went home, even while walking on the streets, I was praying in my daily life. Even after I prayed, I kept earnest. I kept passionate. I remained earnest. I still hold on to the inspiration that I received that prayer. I remembered the shortcomings I discovered. Even after the prayer meeting, I kept trying. And even as I woke up in the morning, I remembered the prayer and remembered the evil attributes that I discovered. And I prayed that Father God would help me throw away such attributes, and Father God would help me achieve goodness and love. Because I was so earnest, I could pray like that. But if you lack earnestness, you don't remember it in your everyday life. But if you are really earnest, if you are really eager to cast off, if you really want to love someone, even though you keep reflecting on yourself and before you meet someone, even though you know you as you have such earnestness, as you show such sincerity and efforts, why wouldn't you change yourself? Why? Because you don't show such efforts. Because you only pray and then you go back to your everyday life and you make no efforts because you lack sincerity and devotion. You are slow to change and it feels like you are staying where you are. But you have to focus on your heart and mind. Entirely focus your mind and will on sanctification. Then you will clearly and obviously make yourself better than yesterday. Your tomorrow will be better than your today. You also do your best in everything, including your duties at school or workplace or in your family. Wrapping up your day, you put all your sincerity, love, and strength into each word of the praise songs and each word of your prayer. Everyone, your sincerity, your devotion has to be, once you are filled with the love of the Lord, every lyrics of your song, every prayer, word of your prayer, you just feel the Lord's love in your heart right away. Each person, if you like something sour, if you like eating sour things, if you like things like lemon and orange, if you think of that, you get saliva in your mouth when you think about Lord, you are filled with the desire to see the Lord. Our shepherd has gone to heaven. So don't you have such an earnest desire to meet Him and see Him? Our shepherd had such earnest longing for the Father and the Lord. And one of the young adults members confessed that he didn't understand the earnest longing the shepherd used, the word shepherd used. But as our shepherd has gone to heaven, she now understands what the earnest longing means, and she can empathize with the shepherd. As I heard her confession, I was very happy. and not just about the shepherd. You have to have such earnest longing towards our Lord and towards our Father. We may long for the shepherd because we saw him, we talked with him, and we have very many, many memories about him. But once you mature in faith, you also have the same kind of feeling towards the Lord and towards the Father. You know that Father God loves you so much, and he, in order to save you, he, our Lord, suffered a harsh suffering on the cross, and you feel closer and closer to the Lord. And then you are singing, you, whatever you sing, the words of the praise song just fill you with inspiration. And whenever I sing, I try to control my emotions. Then I would burst into tears, and tear comes boundlessly. If I sing and tears flow down, some church members would misunderstand that I'm in sadness or something. So I try to control myself in praising. But even if you have, even if I try to control myself, I just think about heaven right away. I think about the, you also have to do that. In order to do that, your Christian love has to change. Your heart has to be circumcised. Your heart has to be, you have to cut off the worldly things, and you have to have your heart focused on the heaven alone. You have to gradually live like that. Only then can you advance into New Jerusalem. As you live a Christian life like that, as you live like that, one day, 2 days, 3 days, or 1 month, and throughout the year, then you can attain to sanctification, achieve the growth of faith, and you will go towards New Jerusalem, march towards New Jerusalem. May this service lead you to make a resolve to live such a great life of faith in the new year. January 1st, the first day of the year, we are devoting our time to God. We also have the dinner prayer meeting at night. So you have to resolve to pray, put more of your sincerity into praying at dinner prayer meeting. And on Thursday, we also have the dinner prayer meeting. You also have to make a resolve to pray, do your best in your prayer. Even though you couldn't pray very well, you shouldn't give up. You have to try hard again. Then you have the Holy Spirit helping you out. If you make a resolve and you have a resolution, then our good Father God would provide you with tremendous grace so that you can live a life of victory. I hope all of you will experience such grace to press on towards the goal. Third, we have to keep marching on for the prize of the upward call of God. The upward call of God. We have to look to the upward call of God in our journey of faith. Once you have such hope, you have to pray with such hope in mind. You have to discipline yourself. Today's passage says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And our Lord promised in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven, where we will all enter, is an extremely beautiful place without tears, sorrow, concerns, pain, and evil. In that beautiful kingdom, God prepares our dwelling places and rewards depending on how much we live by the Word of God, cast off evil, and resemble our Lord, and how faithfully we fulfill His duties. These are the prize of the upward call of God. No matter how beautiful and glorious earthly things are, they will vanish away shortly and cannot be even compared to things of heaven. So, shouldn't we make ourselves cleaner and become more faithful to receive more valuable things in everlasting heaven? Anticipating this prize, our Lord and many fathers of faith pressed on in joy even amidst tribulations. Particularly, Apostle Paul went through a lot of persecutions and hardships. So God showed him heaven. After seeing heaven, He showed him heaven early on. After seeing heaven, Paul never complained or stopped despite any hardships facing him. Rather, he carried on with his duties in joy and gratitude. He confessed, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." He considered whatever was to his benefit, whatever was to his profit in the world as loss, and pressed on for God's kingdom and His righteousness, looking to heaven alone. Our fathers of faith like Abraham, Jacob, and Moses also marched on forward, looking to heaven and rewards, and lived a life of glorifying God. In 2025, may all of us march vigorously with hope for heaven. We shouldn't become lax after receiving answers and blessings or seek rest in the face of a trouble. Even after performing great power and bearing abundant fruits at an overseas United Crusades, the shepherd never said, "That's enough." He always wished he had given God greater glory and never sought for rest. He could have been satisfied with what was done and put himself at ease based on all the achievements. But he was always filled with the desire to accomplish things more perfectly and more greatly, giving glory, giving joy and glory to God. So should we. The dreams and visions we've received in this end time are to build a grand sanctuary and evangelize the world. For we still have many things to accomplish. We are to forget about our past achievements and only press on towards our goal. Philippians chapter 3 verse 16 tells us, "Let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." The verse urges us to press on without a change of heart until all is accomplished. Thus, we are to keep marching on toward a goal until we attain to the perfection in faith and until our Lord comes back. We are to strive all the more, making ourselves better than how we were yesterday. Making hard efforts, tomorrow's should be better than our today's. At times, our change may seem slow and no visible fruits are to be seen. Even so, if we press on without ceasing, at some point, we will see fruits and achieve growth of faith. As for me, I sometimes wondered how much I've changed when the shepherds was here. We were filled with the Spirit, and I try to be faithful to the Lord, but Holy Spirit is the deep heart of God. Even when someone persecutes us, someone bothers us, tries to kill us, we don't hate him, we don't resent him, we bless for him, we bless him, we sacrifice ourselves for him. But when someone bothers me, because things were peaceful, I didn't know, I wonder how much I've changed. I wonder if I could show such deeds. I just vaguely prayed and marched on. But sometimes when I sometimes had a chance to look at myself, but sometimes whenever I discovered shortcomings, I prayed and beat my flesh because such severe troubles didn't come to me. Even though things were peaceful, I didn't know. I really didn't know how much I have grown, how much love I have, how much I can embrace the souls. But as I go through trials, I prayed, and we know the standards of truth. You know, we face troubles, we face the challenges, we face difficulties. We saw people who are jealous of us, who try to destroy us. As I met such a situation, I had a chance to check myself as to how I've achieved fulfilled the word of God. When I discovered my shortcomings, I prayed and kept pressing on. And I prayed and I had such experiences during the trials, and as I stand before the podium and as I think about the shepherd and the power, and I try to do things and Father God, I thought I was not capable enough, but at some point Father God made me. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but Father God gave me assigned a duty to perform such great duty, and I was surprised that by myself, and I was thankful that I followed God's guidance. Maybe you may think that I prepared everything in advance. You are already prepared. You may think that way, but as for me, I didn't know how much I would change, how much power, how much strength I had. Things were not visible. I just prayed. I just longed for. I was, let's say you are on the treadmill. You don't know how. Sometimes it may seem that your change is not visible. You don't know how you've grown in faith. There are such times, but just keep going. Just keep going, holding on to the word. You don't have to compare yourself to others. You just have a standard with the absolute word of God, and you look at yourself with the word of God, and you keep going without wavering. Then when our Lord comes back, you will be complimented, and even on this earth you find yourself having changed a lot. Even though you used to hate someone, used to complain, but you find yourself not doing that anymore. That means you have changed. In the past, you only prayed for a specific amount of time, but now you find yourself praying longer. Now you find yourself carrying out your duties better. That means you receive more strength. You can also check yourself like that. And you can rejoice even over your small change, and you can give thanks to God for even your small change. In the past, you may take a break from praying. You didn't pray well, and you used to feel drowsy during prayer, but you have to pray that Father God would help you, and you find yourself having changed, and you have to support or cheer for yourself as well, and then you will happily keep going, and you have to just walk this way happily. That's what I have been doing in our journey of faith. Not just big things, but over trivial things, I try to find things to give thanks for. I feel God's guidance and God's hands, and I rejoicing. As you march toward New Jerusalem, I hope you have your hearts filled with hope and visions. In doing so, we can attain to the goal. Therefore, until all is accomplished, until our Lord descends to the air or He calls our souls, may all of us march towards the goal all the more vigorously. On the day, you shouldn't say, I still have a lot of things to change. I still have a lot of things to be faithful. You shouldn't regret, but you have to be satisfied so that you can joyfully run into the Lord's arms and be held in His embrace. You have to keep going and marching today and tomorrow. Let me conclude a message, dear brothers and sisters. Our Lord came down to this earth as the Son of God, proclaimed His will, and completed the redemption and fulfilled the law with love. He shared the gospel of heaven only according to God's will and healed people of all diseases and infirmities. By ultimately dying on the cross, He opened the way of salvation for all humanity. As He walked the path of suffering, sacrifice, and death, our Lord pressed on without ceasing at all. Imitating our Lord who fully accomplished God's providence, we have to strive for perfection so that He would compliment us. You've done all things assigned to you. Well done. What God desires from us is perfection in all areas. Your family, your workplace, and your students, you have to do your duties. You have to do your, you have to be faithful in all God's house. Father God wants us to do that. And not just that, and Father God, there's a specific amount of, where there's a specific amount Father God wants to achieve. Your duties, in your duties, Father God has some level of expectation. I mean, each one of you, as well as this church, has a duty assigned by God. You shouldn't work to an extent satisfying men's standards, but to the point where you can satisfy God and receive His compliments. Thus, we are to march forward without ceasing until we become praiseworthy in God's eyes. We are to live a life in which we only seek God's glory, whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do. As for me, in 2024, I could live a life of victory. And many people said, they told me, you actually, nothing troubled me, nothing bothered me from my heart. There were no difficulties or troubles. I don't think I lived a hard life. Father God holding on to me tightly. I was very peaceful and things were very easy during the year. I feel that way. I make that confession. I give thanks to Father God in my confession. And now is the beginning for me. The shepherd, the on the foundation of our shepherd, I am setting up a building. 2024 was the beginning for me. I had a good start. It doesn't feel like I had trouble, but I have to work harder. I have to strive more so that Father God's will be fulfilled. In 2025, we will improve more. We will, and then after that, we will improve ourselves, improve all the more. I sometimes check whether, am I trying my best? Am I trying my utmost? I ask myself, when I, even though I try my best, sometimes, but I don't think I reached my limit, because Father God broadened my ability, broadened my capability, and I still have, it's amazing. In the past, when I did something, I was in difficulty. But nowadays, even though I do that, I'm not in trouble. There was not a time when I reached my limits. It's because our Father God continued to grow my ability. But still, I mean, I hope that in 2025, I will work harder, run harder, and strive more. I make that resolve. Our God wants this church to become the salt and light in the end time, save numerous souls, and mightily expand His kingdom. For we've been assigned such tremendous duties. Above all, we are to become united by the cause of love, the truth, and the Holy Spirit. For a single person to carry out 10 tasks would require a great deal of time and effort. But if 10 people work together, being united as one, they can accomplish more than 10 tasks much quicker and more efficiently. Likewise, once we are united, wherever we go, we can save souls and God's works definitely follow. I pray in the name of the Lord that none of you would drop out of this race of faith, but run even faster, thereby partaking in the glory of shining like the sun in everlasting heaven.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.